Right, Rumble Strips. How about that video, huh? That's our production team. Did a great job on that. I had this idea. The Lord gave it to me back in November. So I've been marinating on this all this time. And I thought of a video, and that's exactly what I'd hoped it'd be. How many of you have had some family conflict because of Rumble Strips? Come on now. You know, my wife and I have this discussion about my driving ability. And Lynn, she prefers not to drive, and so I get to drive. And so we have this discussion if I'm a very good driver or not. I think I'm a really good driver. She doesn't always agree. But Rumble Strips are a dead giveaway, right? You know, you hit the Rumble Strip and she says, get this look, right? Get the look. But then she has this car that she drives that beeps now when you make a lane change without putting the signal on. And if you're even heading toward the Rumble Strip, before you get to the Rumble Strip, it beeps. Now, what she hasn't learned yet, she's going to find out in just a second here, is I learned how to disengage that little beeping thing. And so now she thinks I'm a better driver than I really am. But Rumble Strips are there to guide us and direct us. You know, the idea, every time we hit one of those Rumble Strips in your car, which I hope is not very often, but when you do, that you remember that boundaries are a gift from God. That Rumble Strips, boundaries are a gift from God. Now, I wish I'd learned more about boundaries many years ago. 40 years ago, when Lynn and I were starting out, boundaries teaching would have been really helpful. We would have probably perhaps done a few things a little differently in parenting and et cetera in our family. But my goal is that you will pick it up now. And there's a great book that Trevor and Nick introduced to you called Boundaries by Henry Cloud and John Townsend. It's been out for a while, but it's a great read. We've been taking our staff through this book, and it's been incredibly helpful in looking at boundaries. You know, as we think about today's topic, family, let me just say that I'm not an expert on this. I didn't write the book. I've read the book, but I've been learning how important boundaries are. And I know that there are people here today that you're struggling right now because of some boundaries issues in your family, maybe in your family of origin. Maybe how you grew up. In fact, I love to walk around before the service or before I get up here when I'm just to watch you worship. And the reason I do that is mainly is because I can't see you from the stage because the light's kind of blind. And I want to see who's here. A couple things I noticed today when I was walking around. I noticed that some of you have these in your ear, the earplugs. So please take those out right now while the sermon's going on. If you would, and if you've been guilty, let's go ahead and confess it, man. We can go ahead and try to stop looking at the British Open scores and for just a few minutes, right? Boundaries are boundaries here. You could probably sneak a peek every now and then on that to see who's winning. But the other thing I noticed when I walked around this morning in both services, during the worship, I saw tears in people's eyes. People that were just weeping, I believe because they were being moved by the worship, but also because they were struggling with an issue. They were struggling with a problem. Maybe it was in their marriage. Maybe it was in their family. Maybe with their children. Maybe with their grandchildren. And a lot of those challenges we face in our families are caused by boundary issues. In fact, we talk about road trip. That's the name of the sermon today. You know, have we heard that? We'll make that road trip. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? As families, we never arrive, but we can get to our preferred future without as much drama, without as much pain, without as much suffering if we will begin to live in and learn the values of God-given boundaries. Again, Nick and Trevor did a great job defining those boundaries and what it means during the past 2 weeks. Today, we're going to concentrate on family and hear Dr. Baltnight's preaching in the sanctuary on friendship, the boundaries in friendship. And we'll switch. Next week, I'll preach in there on this sermon, and he'll come in here and preach on friends. In a couple weeks, 3 weeks, we'll talk about work boundaries and then technology boundaries. So really, really helpful stuff. But boundaries are property lines. They define what is me and what is not me. What is my responsibility and what is not my responsibility? You know, without the boundary of skin, you and I would have all kinds of diseases. We would really struggle with being healthy. Without the boundary of fences, young children could wander into harm. You know, we have fences around our playgrounds here at the church. Boundaries are important. And I believe without the boundaries in healthy relationships, we'll never really know true freedom and experience unconditional love. Boundaries are a gift from God to those who want to live into God's purpose. You know, one of the things that I'm learning about boundaries is I'm responsible for me, and you're responsible for you. One of the great challenges that we have here is coming up with a message each week that's the message that God wants us to deliver. It's a burden, it's a challenge, it's an awesome responsibility to take that on and to prayerfully work on crafting a message that we believe God wants to speak through and speak into. And that's my responsibility. It's your responsibility with what you do with it, that you can take it and apply it and take it and live into it and take it and to wrestle with it and cause you to dig a little deeper and to ask questions. But that's your responsibility. One of the great freedoms I learned as a pastor many, many years ago was that I don't save anybody, that all I'm called to do is lift up the good news of the gospel, and that God has a plan, that God has a way. And ultimately, it is your responsibility to choose whether to receive that or not. So as we talk about family, it's a huge topic. There are volumes written on family boundaries. So I'm going to just dive into a little bit of stuff this morning for you. The first thing I want to talk about that we all have experienced, everybody in this room has experienced this. You wouldn't be here today if you didn't have a family of origin. All of us have a family of origin. It's the family that we were born into, the family that or we were adopted into. It's the people who raise us. It's where we spend our childhood. It's enormous because it shapes our core beliefs. It's how we feel about ourselves. So much of our self-esteem, our psyche is shaped by our family of origin. Our beliefs are formed that impact every decision, and our family of origin impact our future relationships. And these beliefs and boundaries are passed down from parents to children, from one generation to the next. It's how unhealthy families are perpetuated, or how healthy families are perpetuated. Now, I believe this is very important when it comes to boundaries in our family of origin, is that quality and God-centered family life is the responsibility of all parents. When I became a believer at the age of 14, I took on that responsibility. I carried the burden for my family that they would become believers, and that's not a burden that children need to carry. Now, it's one that God used and helped shape me who I am today, but I would encourage you as parents and as grandparents that God has called you to equip your children, your grandchildren, with God-shaped boundaries. And when there's immaturity, when there are poor choices, when there are bad boundaries, children are often released into a world with a distorted, dysfunctional view of reality that can have generational effects. Now, the Bible is full of stories of good families and also some not so good families. And one of the stories I want to share with you this morning and spend a few minutes with you on is from Genesis 25. This is the account of the family of Isaac, the son of Abraham. When Isaac was 40 years old, he married Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean, from Paddan Aram, and the sister of Laban, the Aramean. Now, if I pronounce those right or not, but that's where we're going with today. Isaac pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was unable to have children. The Lord answered Isaac's prayer, and Rebekah became pregnant with twins. But the two children struggled with each other in her womb. So she went to ask the Lord about it. "Why is this happening to me?" she asked. And the Lord told her, "The sons in your womb will become two nations. From the very beginning, the two nations will be rivals. One nation will be stronger than the other, and your older son will serve your younger son." Now, it's important to note here that even in her pregnancy, that Rebecca was a praying woman. And she wanted to know what God's plan was. She wanted to know what God's intent was. She wanted to know what was going on. Her heart was in the right place in regard to boundaries. And when the time came to give birth, Rebecca discovered that she did indeed have twins. The first one was very red at birth and covered with thick hair like a fur coat. So they named him Esau. Then the other twin was born with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when the twins were born. I heard a couple of you guys mourn out there a little bit. Whoa, 60 years old with twins. As the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter. He was an outdoorsman, but Jacob had a quiet temperament, preferring to stay at home. Isaac loved Esau because he enjoyed eating the wild game Esau brought home. But Rebecca loved Jacob. Now again, in this passage, you begin to see the formation of some bad boundaries. That Isaac kind of gravitated toward Esau. Rebecca says loved Jacob more. If you know the rest of the story, takes place in the next several chapters of Genesis, that Jacob decides to steal his brother's birthright, tricks him. And then later on, whenever it came time for Isaac to give the blessing upon the oldest son, Rebecca and Jacob conspire. They work together to trick Isaac the father and to steal the blessing where favor would fall upon the oldest son, but instead the youngest son manipulates through his mother to receive a blessing from the father Isaac. A lot of bad boundaries. Boundaries gone bad. Now, I'm not a psychologist and I don't know a lot about human decisions and psyche and all that, but I do know enough here that Rebecca is somebody we call a controller. She's a controller. She wants to control the situation. Even though she prays while her kid's in the womb, somewhere along the line, evidently, she forgets to pray. Instead of letting God allow things to play out, she decides to control the situation. When it comes to boundaries in our family, God never intends for us to be God for anyone. It is not our role to take responsibility for somebody else's future, their lives. You know, controllers can't hear no. They don't hear no very well. Then you got Jacob. At this point in his life, he's a compliant. What does that mean? He can't say no. He could have said no to his mom. He could have said, Mom, this is a bad idea. You need to let it go, let it play out. God has a plan, God's in this. It's gonna work out for the best. But he couldn't say no because he was compliant. You know, compliant people often have the hardest time with boundaries. They give in to the demands of other people. They can't stand alone. They can't be distinct because they're too concerned what other people are saying. And the sad thing is, compliant people sometimes listen to what others say about them more than what God says about them. That's why peer pressure has such a devastating impact on youth sometimes, because we want everybody to like us. And so we become compliant. And there are people who want to control us. And all that results in this family, and in any family, is confusion. A lot of confusion. A lot of triangularization. That's a fancy word for saying don't do it. Where Rebecca gets in the middle of her two sons' relationship, gets in the middle of the son and father's relationship by manipulation and control. Triangulation is never a good thing. And they make some choices. Choices weren't good choices. They went through with the plan to trick the father, and the consequences, one of the consequences. You know, one of the saddest parts of this story is Rebecca loved Jacob more. And after she manipulated the situation to try to get her favored son the blessing, it says she never saw him again. She never saw him again. And then we know that Esau and Jacob grew apart, a lot of anger. They became enemies. They went their separate directions. A family splintered apart because of bad choices, bad boundaries. You look at Esau's descendants became known as the Edomites. They were a thorn in the flesh or in the side of Israel for centuries, always warring against them, always in battle. See, boundaryless families create burdens. Families without boundaries create burdens. Again, I grew up in a family that didn't understand boundaries. And there were some unhealthy things that went on in my family. Some of you here today know what it's like to grow up in a family without boundaries, your family of origin. Some of you are in that family right now, and it's a burden. And I want you to know that God has a better plan. And I'm so thankful that God had a plan for me. And God used me to help change the direction of some of my family members. And I'll never forget when I saw my dad become a believer. I never thought I'd ever see my dad read a Bible. But finally, my dad one day gave his heart to Jesus. But it wasn't always that way. There was a season of time when it was very difficult. And maybe you're in that place right now because of bad boundaries. Some of you, your family of origin is wonderful. You were blessed to grow up in a Christian home. My wife grew up in a Christian home and different, totally different dynamics. And some of you are there right now. And some of you are raising your family, as Lynn and I tried to raise our family with boundaries. Now, we didn't know how to define them at that point in time. We didn't fully understand what we were doing, but by the grace of God, we were able to do a pretty good job with that. Not perfect. No, but no perfect families here, right? But I would just say to you this morning, if you're in a family situation where your family of origin or your family right now is a burden because of a lack of boundaries, that doesn't have to define you. That's not the final determination for you. That God has something bigger and better for you. You know, I love a book Nick pointed out to me by Malcolm Gladwell, A Study of Successful Entrepreneurs. And many of those entrepreneurs that went on to success grew up in families or grew up in situations where themselves had personal challenges. And they were able to push through those things. They didn't become excuses for them. And so this morning, if you are in a situation in your family of origin or the family you're in right now, the choice you made, it doesn't have to define you. That God can take your situation and bring renewal and redemption. You see, we don't have a choice about our family of origin, but we do have a choice about our family of faith. Our family of faith. I want to read you a passage that's really a hard passage, and I know we sometimes avoid it because it's such a strong word from Jesus. In Matthew 10, Jesus says this, "If you love your father or mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it." Now that's a hard passage from Jesus. He's not saying that we should not love our spouses. He's not saying we should not love our moms and our dads. He's certainly not saying we should not love our children. But he is saying that we got to get our priorities in the right place. And part of growing up is in a home is leaving the authority of your parents and coming under the authority of God, where God becomes your spiritual father. It's one of the things we do here with confirmation and youth ministry and children's ministry is to help children learn how to come under the authority of God in their life. And then we know that God says to us in his word, then honor your father and mother. I've learned in my life that whenever I come under God's authority and I love God more than I love my wife, and I love God more than I love my son and my daughter and my grandchildren, that when I love him more, he helps me love them better. He gives me a better and deeper love for them because he's in me, working in me. So Jesus is saying, you can choose that today. You can establish priorities where God comes first. You know, again, when we come under the authority, I want to give you two crucial rumble strips for families of faith. And I believe that if we're going to live into a family of faith and we want to get our priorities and our boundaries in the right place, imagine two rumble strips. Imagine for me a one-lane road with rumble strips on either side. The rumble strip on my right would be grace. Grace that tells me God is for me. God is for you. And God has made a way for my salvation. God has made a way to redeem my life and to change my life. It's grace. I love how the Message version takes Paul's words in Romans 8. It spoke to me as I was reading it. It reminded me what God did for me as a 14-year-old, what he can do for you today. With the arrival of Jesus, when Jesus showed up in my life, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us now no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying, black cloud. There's people here today that are living under a cloud. It's a black cloud. And the good news is that Jesus Christ says, I've come to help you change that. He goes on to say here, a new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime or brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. You know, Isaac Newton wrote it this way, amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. That is what it means to enter into the family of faith, is grace. Now that grace is twofold. It's vertical grace. It's receiving God's grace, becoming grounded in God's grace, walking in God's grace, vertical grace that comes from the scriptures and from the Holy Spirit. Grace that reminds us that we're not alone, that God is in it with us. That's vertical grace. But then in a family of faith, in a rumble strip of grace, there's got to be horizontal grace. We've got to extend grace to each other in the family. Forgiveness, unconditional love. Grace that says, I love you, I'm here for you, no matter what. And moms and dads and grandparents, remember this. When it comes to boundaries and grace, we are God's delivery system. We deliver to our children and to our grandchildren the definition of grace. And oftentimes it's how they see us treat each other in the family. We model the grace of God. Grace that says, I'm with you, I love you, I'm for you. Extending grace to each other. Now, from there, you got the right rumble strip of grace. On the left side of my one-lane road is the other rumble strip that I got to live between these two places is truth. Grace and truth. Ephesians 4 says it this way, instead we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, his body, the church. In the family of faith, truth is willing to tell somebody you love they're going off the rails. They're going off the road. You're headed for a wreck in your life. You're headed for trouble. And grace reminds them that I'm going to be here. I'm going to love you, but you're headed for trouble. And these are going to be the consequences if you don't change direction. See, grace is about feeling safe, and truth is about structure. That we need structure in our families. It's not either or, it's both and. You know, some families have so much grace in their family that they don't allow children to suffer any consequences. That they just continue to fail and get bailed out over and over again. And then there are some families with so much structure that kids never get a chance to fail. They're not allowed to fail. And there's a balance between grace and truth, safety and structure. Real trouble comes in our families when people run over grace and ignore truth. Think about that. How many of you have experienced that? When people in your family run over grace and ignore truth, they continue to ignore the rumble strip. They continue to ignore the guardrail. They treat your grace and make it cheap over and over again. That brings real trouble. And I believe that the very fabric of family and marriage in our world is in trouble because we run over grace and ignore truth. We don't want to hear truth. We want everybody to, we don't want any consequences. We want everybody, everything to be excused. Everything's okay. And I think that creates great tragedy. And we see the great struggles within our culture today. But I believe whenever truth and grace are present, and we commit ourselves to God-given boundaries, that boundaries from God create blessings, not burdens. That we need blessings in our life. Now, last week, Nick and Trevor did a great job condensing down what Cloud and Townsend have about laws for boundaries. 10 laws they made into 3, and they did a great job of that. That's how preachers do, right? We take 10 things and make them into 3 points, right? 3-point sermon. Did a great job with that. I want to give those to you real quickly. It's how they apply to family. First is, they said, look both ways. What that means, I think, and what they were trying to say to us is that too oftentimes we only look at others instead of look at our role in the problem. So we got to look both ways. We blame others without taking any responsibility for ourselves. That's a problem, a boundary problem in families. What did Jesus say? Take the log out of your eye before you try to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye or out of your spouse's eye or out of your mom's eye, out of your dad's eye. Look, make sure you're looking at yourself. You know, in establishing that a boundary there is we will tell each other the truth. We're gonna be truth tellers in our family. That truth is important, and even when it hurts. You know, one of the things that I learned in this book, and this is something that I wish I'd known earlier, and I want to really live into in these these next chapter of my life. How about that? Not the final chapter, but the next chapter. Sounded kind of ominous there, the final chapter of my life. The next chapter of my life. How about that? Whatever that is, I don't know. But with that said, is one of the things I learned here is the importance of teaching children or allowing children to say no in an appropriate context. And how important it is to not only have to hear yes from your kids or yes from your grandkids. And that they did a study of a couple of students who maybe were confronted with choices from peers, whether it's drugs or whatever, but bad choices. And one chose not to do the drugs and another one chose to do the drugs. And this is not a 100% study, but I thought it was powerful what I learned in reading that, is that when he looked at the two children, the way they were raised, both raised in Christian homes, is that the child that was allowed to say no in appropriate ways to their family was able to say no whenever they got asked by their friends to do something they shouldn't do, because they had practiced saying no at home in the right context. Now, here, I mean, we don't just want our kids saying no all the time, but we need to let them say no and know that their no is valuable as their yes. That's an important lesson I think we can learn about boundaries. The other thing that they talked about in that regard is that how important it is to teach our children to make choices and to give them choices while they're growing up. In regards to this weekend, this Saturday, we're gonna go bowling, we're gonna go putt-putt, we're gonna go to the movies, we're gonna go to mow the yard, whatever. You decide. You choose for the family this weekend. And simple as that is that we got to instill within our children, our grandchildren, how to make choices. And if they don't practice making choices when they're at home, we're going to throw them into a world when they go off to college or wherever, and they've never made a choice. They've never suffered a consequence. They've never learned how to say no to anything. So just important. Look both ways. Number two is stay in your lane. Carry your own load. You know, Rebecca couldn't stay in her lane. She had to get involved where she shouldn't have got involved. She came between a father and a son. She became between two brothers. We got to stay in our lane. And sometimes the most loving thing we can do is allow those we love to reap what they sow, is to reap what they sow, to experience painful consequences. You know, sometimes we don't stay in our lane because we're too busy trying to please ourselves. We're trying to get our agenda. We're trying to get what we want done, and we don't stay in our lane. Another way we struggle with that is pleasing people, is we struggle with becoming people pleasers instead of God pleasers. You see, Jacob wanted to please his mother more than he wanted to please God. Don't fall into the trap of being a people pleaser. The boundary would be we will choose to please God more than people. Please God more than people. And then out of those two rules for the road, I came up with these real quickly, some benefits. When we begin to live this way, it takes the pressure off. We realize that I'm not in control except for my choices. I can't control choices. God is in control. It allows us to move from anxiety and anger and fear to peace, that God's got this. Now, that's hard to do. But when I allow God to begin to shape things and invite him into my boundaries, I can start trusting that he's got this, that he's going to make a way. Because sometimes I just got to get out of the way. Sometimes we have trouble because we don't give God direct access to the situation because we're too busy trying to control the situation. And God wants to have complete access so he can do what only God can do. That means we got to get out of the way sometimes. And the last rule that Trevor and Nick talked about is make some noise. What does that mean? I think it means that we need to make sure we clarify what boundaries are, what we believe to be important, that here's what our family is going to do. And if you don't do these things, there will be consequences. And there'll be things that will happen. You know, consequences, this is the thing about consequences. Consequences don't work 100% of the time. Right? I mean, they don't work 100% of the time, but if you don't use them, they won't work 100% of the time. Right? So consequences are important that we do that. And so clarify and communicate. You know, I think Lynn and I, we had boundaries in our family for our kids growing up, but we didn't communicate them. It was just kind of known, this is what you do and what you don't do. But if I had to do it over again, we would communicate those more clearly. We would name those. We called that in a sermon a few weeks ago, having a family mission statement. Now we can give really good directions to people. We can give really good boundaries. We can clarify, we can communicate, but remember, people are going to choose which exit they take. And we can't control that. And then we collaborate with them. We work with God in the process. We love without rescuing. We don't fix problems. We love people through their problems. People fix their problems. You know, I've given you in your bulletin some examples of family boundaries. I don't have time to go over them this morning, but there's about six examples of boundaries. So if you didn't get a bulletin on the way out, pick one up. And I would encourage all of us to write down some family boundaries, that these are the boundaries of our family. You know, this is how we're going to speak to each other. This is how we're going to fight fair. When we have a conflict, and let me say, in a Christian family, conflict is a good thing. Nothing wrong with conflict. It needs to be constructive. It needs to have the right way to do it, but it's important. And there's also in your notes a family boundary quiz. Lynn and I took that quiz and tried to determine how we were on boundaries, and we were okay. We both can work on some things. None of us are there yet, right? But that's a good, helpful quiz. You got a link to that in your notes. And I want to close, and I'm out of time. And so I want to close with a good boundary story from Scripture. Jesus tells a story of a father whose son wanted to leave the home and make some choices, and he asked for his inheritance. You know this story, right? And so he left home and took his inheritance and went and basically suffered, made some bad, bad choices, and experienced all kinds of consequences and all kinds of loss. He was at the bottom of the pig pen. But it says that his father never stopped loving him. That's what fathers do. It's what mothers do. It's what godly parents do. we never stop loving our kids. And Jesus is saying, this is an example of God's love for you. Maybe you've made some bad decisions. Maybe you've had some bad boundaries. Maybe you grew up in a situation that caused some things to go wrong in your life. But your Heavenly Father has never stopped loving you. And just like in the story, the father waits for the son. And when he sees the son coming down the road, coming back home, after suffering all these consequences of all these bad decisions, the son comes to his senses and the father runs and greets him and welcomes him. And the father speaks to him. The father receives him. We're gonna sing a closing song, great song. It says, speak. And you've been speaking, Father God, words throughout all of time that I love you, that I'm with you, that I'm for you. And today, if you're at that place where you just need to say, man, I've messed up my life because of bad choices, bad boundaries, God says, I love you. I want to help you change things, turn things around. I have a plan for your life. Will you live into that today? Father God, I thank you that you love us. Love us enough to tell us the truth. You love us enough to let us suffer and struggle with bad choices. Lord, and as parents, it's so hard for us to see our children suffer and struggle consequences from bad choices. But Father God, we know that we can trust them into your hands and that we'll pray for them and lift them up. Lord, for that marriage right now that's broken because of bad choices, bad boundaries, I pray that you would bring grace and mercy. And Father, we would hear you speak to us. Whatever the situation is, Father God, I know that with you, there is hope. And with you, there is help. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask that Grace Marie and Brett sing this song to you. You can be seated. Stay where you're at. Let the words soak into you that God is for you, that God is with you. No matter your family of origin, no matter your family of choice, if you want to come here and pray, you're always welcome to come here and pray. Nick is over here. I'll be over here. We'll pray with you this morning. Listen to these words.